Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Film.
We'll go to the Euros. Okay, first of all, expanded tournament. What do you think? Like it? Love it? Hate it?
I did like it, actually. Yeah. I mean, it was a little weird, the whole four best 13 teams, third place teams go through. And given that one of those was Portugal, who ended up winning the whole thing, sort of showed that perhaps the settings for the pools were a bit weird anyway.
Mm.
It did make it a little, just, I suppose, a little bit more complicated to follow in the pool stage. So knowing who was going to, generally you can work out, oh, this is going to be the key games here. But it added that extra level of complexity into it.
I think the 24-team format is, like I said, it was used for two World Cups. One of them, actually three World Cups. Like I said, the 86 World Cup is one of the best, greatest World Cups of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably is the greatest World Cup ever. The 90 World Cup, and the 94 World Cup, but those are nothing to do with the format. And the 86 World Cup showed the potential of the format, because if you're starting kind of slow in the tournament, it still leaves you with the opportunity to get good, hit some form, and come in and win. And I know we want knockout football to be strong, and that be the way we win things. There's a good argument for that, but I think I like the 24-game format. We wouldn't have teams like Iceland, Albania, no. Northern Ireland, possibly.
I don't really want to diss the format, because, it brought in some really good teams. You had Northern Ireland, you had Iceland, you had Albania.
Mm.
I mean, and potentially, I'm not sure if Wales...
Wales were, I think, easily qualified.
Easily qualified anyway, I wasn't sure if they were. But Iceland and Northern Ireland, for me, were two of my favourite teams in the competition anyway. Iceland especially, because they beat England, which is just hilarious.
Everybody loves the team that beats England, especially if it's like a frozen continent.
Yeah.
The other side of that is, like, heck, I was right about the semi-finalists.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
So Portugal, Wales, France and Germany, I think they were the four best teams in the tournament.
Yeah, no, as it turned out, they were. I mean...
Italy were very unlucky not to get through to those semis.
Given that we were writing them off before the tournament even started.
Shows how good a coach Conte is. I think you are looking quite happy.
I
don't know how much of that control he'll be given by Abramovich in Chelsea.
Well, possibly early on about that much, but then at some point it'll be taken away from him. So.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Like, he's very capable, and he knows how to play tactically, and I think Chelsea's current group of players suit that tactically flexible management style. But worry, do not want to go into the Premiership yet. This is still Euros. But Italy, very good performance, given their... We went through a lot of their weaknesses, and we kind of...
Yeah.
We wrote them off, so I must apologize, Italy. You have proven me wrong.
I know, they definitely proved most people wrong. There was lots of stuff written from football pundits about how bad this Italian team was, and they just went, bad? No, we're good. Look at this. Look how we win everything.
On the other hand, the team we totally slagged off and said had no hope, totally didn't have hope, which was England. But they played even worse than we expected. Like, they made it to the next round, but only because Russia were awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so awful.
Ridiculously awful.
Like, Wales were clearly better than them.
Yeah. The only thing more awful than the Russian football team was the Russian supporters.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem in 2018. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I see that as the biggest problem for 2018 actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll more from this space. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes. I think you're right. You know, Wales were clearly the best team out of that pool. And then they went on and showed it by showing their class all the way through to the semis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't quite win the battle of the superstars and in the semi, but...
That was the game where Ronaldo decided to...
Actually,
pull his socks up and
go. I'm worth lots of pounds. Thank you. I shall win the game for everybody.
But now what? The final where Ronaldo getting injured, coming off, and
in the 24th minute or something quite early.
That's right, and then coming on and basically effectively becoming the second assistant coach.
And
the coach actually letting him take in and be that inspirational figure in the finals. Because at that point, I think tactical nuance and stuff, the coach can do only so much. But getting that inspiration and that will to carry on and all that, like someone like Ronaldo can can get the team to do that. And I think he recognized it. And
yeah.
So we must, I think, really good coaching in that way. Letting,
definitely.
Trusting your lieutenants. Even ones you didn't pick as your lieutenants. So, this is like a battlefield promotion,
yeah,
right?
Exactly,
like into the... and he came in and deservedly the team Portugal deservedly won that final.
Yeah.
And I think, well, Cristiano Ronaldo has finally got a international title, and Portugal finally has an international title.
And they say they deserved it in that final. They played better than France, which was a heartbreak for France and French fans, given that it was in France.
Mm-hmm.
I was siding with France, because I thought, well, yeah, it's time for them to showing, you know, party time, France Central, go.
But France, no. I think, look, France had everything there to win.
Yeah.
I must say, their coach, Didier Deschamps, but Didier Deschamps did kind of choke, I feel, because he did play Pogba out of position. Pogba should really be the focus of your attack. A player like him who can do what he does. You're kind of wasting him if he's there screening the front of the defense, protecting the front four.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, he can do that job, and he can do it really, really well. But there are probably half a dozen players like that in French football who can do that. And you want a player, but what Pogba can do just ahead of that, ahead of those central defensive midfielders and just behind the attack is amazing. There's very few players who can do that.
Yes.
Your Ernest, your Iniesta's, your Cristiano Ronaldo's, and those players who do that, that's what Pogba's in that position.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pogba's entering that pantheon of players. So I think misusing your best player is a mistake in international football. You don't have that luxury unless it completely doesn't fit your system, which is not true, because I think any Pogba is one of those players who can fit any system.
Yes, you can fit him in, and say he's one of those players where you can mold the team around him as well, like, because he'll just fit into that role as needed. I think you're right, he needs to be a bit more advanced than what he was.
He needed to be in that left side of the midfield, further advanced, and and Griezmann was effectively the best player of the tournament. If someone like Pogba behind him would have totally... That final would have been very, very different.
That said,
tactically...
Griezmann almost had a chance of getting a goal even as the structure was. He was very unlucky to miss his chance.
Yep.
But, I don't know, maybe that was a bit of a choke as well. So it was reasonably... I mean, it wasn't an easy chance, but it was a clear-cut chance.
Well, Griezmann, what happens in finals, right? It was a great goal that Eder scored in the end.
Oh yeah, it was a great goal.
And I think it was a great tournament. Other than fan trouble.
Yeah, that was early on.
I think the good fans made up for it. Your Welsh, your Irish, and your Icelandic fans.
Oh, it helped that one of the bad teams went out at group stage, and that was Russia, and the other one went out shortly afterwards at the second round, which was England.
Well, I think England fans got a lot of grief, but looking at their thing, like at that stadium one, they were clearly being targeted by Russian fans. And
yeah, what it was that the Russian fans were starting it, but they had an easy target in English fans. I mean, I don't know if many other fans were going to quite get their backs up as much as the English fans did. And that's what caused the problems then. And the Russian fans basically just followed the English fans around and just started causing trouble wherever the English ones were, because they knew the English were going to fight back, so they got the fight they were looking for. They just had to go, you know, the Russian fans are like, we want to fight. Go find some English fans, we get a fight. So,
I think
it was instigated by Russia, the Russian fans.
Well, Russia don't have to play any games in the World Cup qualifying, assuming it stays in Russia.
Assuming.
But if there's further crowd trouble, can you imagine if there's a World Cup in Russia and Russia are not allowed to play?
Yeah, well, you've got to add on to that. This is sort of outside the scope as well, but the troubles coming up with the Olympics with the Russian drug testing in Russia, and that obviously not being up the standard. And whilst it may be a little bit laughable about FIFA managing to actually uphold some sort of, you know, rules around these sort of things, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Russian sports just gets thrown out of international competitions until they can prove that they can actually do drug testing.
Well, if that happens and we have the World Cup again in Brazil, because that's what will happen if Russia doesn't host it in 2018, because that's the backup. The previous host is the backup.
All right, yeah.
And, you know, Brazil might not be able to host it if they're still having issues with Zika. Yeah. And we're yet to see what the effects will be from the Olympics. Yeah. So I don't, like, they've hosted the World Cup, so I'm not... There's no issues with hosting a World Cup with Brazil as much as there is the issues that happened since with the Zika virus and that stuff.
The issue comes down to if the Olympics are a shambles, which I don't think they're going to quite be. But
no, I don't think so either.
There are sort of a few warning signs where maybe there might be a few.
If Russia and Brazil are both unable to, would we have a new host come in?
Yeah.
Well, the last time we had something like this is in 1983, when Colombia resigned from being the hosts of the World Cup, and the Mexico came into the fold. They had 3 years to be ready and took over. Like, they had a new renegotiate. Like, basically, Mexico, Canada, and the USA bid for it, and the Mexicans got it. But part of that. What happened from that was they were so impressed by the U.S. bid, the USA, as we know, history shows, went on to host the 94 World Cup. We both know the next two World Cups are potentially not going to be hosted, where they say, by the teams that won. If Russia's one goes up again, and it'll be another UEFA team, you imagine, that would...
Yeah.
France is a potential.
I've always imagined that Germany would be the one that would.
Germany's there, but Germany hosted a World Cup in 2006, so...
I know that was everything against them in the current recent, but... I thought they had the infrastructure and the stadiums there pretty much.
But I think there are a few countries that are pretty easily ready to go with the infrastructure.
Yeah, actually.
There's England, there's Germany, there's France, there's Spain.
Yeah,
and
even
Italy.
Yeah.
So there's... some very perfectly capable people who could just pick up and run host a World Cup, no problems. Will they is a different question altogether. And like similarly, you'd have an Asian World Cup, and if Qatar were to lose there,
come on, Australia 2022, woo, Australia.
Well, Australia's there. There's Japan, who also bid for it, and Korea. But given Japan and Korea have hosted a World Cup together, they may not. There, but there's also the potential for another Gulf country, like perhaps the United Arab Emirates or China
to
come in. So, and Chinese football every year is improving leaps and bounds, and like
I'm sure China would be quite happy for us, especially since they want to host the Winter Olympics in 2018 in Beijing.
Yep.
So add a Football World Cup onto that would be starting to add to their jewels to their crown in Beijing, but all
absolutely.
The sporting
absolutely and
events
I,
they've hosted.
I'm fairly sure China can quite easily host a World Cup, and even with like 1 year's notice.
Yeah, that'll make it happen.
Yeah, but if you're making a point about the Winter Olympics, Japan would have had the Olympics in 2020. Tokyo. So maybe they'll go with you guys have all had your share and let Korea or Australia have it. We'll see. At this stage, apparently we're still hosting the next World Cup in Russia and the World Cup after that in Qatar. But obviously things can change. Cool. Well, I think that's most of what we wanted to talk about. So thanks very much for joining us. We look to see you join us again.
Yeah, see you next time.